the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to Journey number 42 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Skylab, Are You There?, an episode of The Zero Hour, which is hosted by Rod Serling and stars William Shatner. I'm your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. I'm looking forward to running today's story. It comes to us from... Oh, sorry. Thought I heard a sound. Oh man, I don't have time to edit this tonight either. Okay, start over. I first heard this story when I was traveling in Mexico and... What? It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Who would be here at this time? Alright, hold on. I'll go take care of this. Who is it?
It's the Doonsteef. Open up.
The Doonsteef? What? Come on. What is this? Some kind of joke?
Please, let us in, Marshall. We don't want this to get messy.
Messy? Hey, okay, it looks like you guys, but hey, it's really late, and my family's asleep. It's cool that you guys are here, but why don't you come back tomorrow?
No can do. It's time for us to journey into your house.
Look, sorry guys, it's not going to work out.
Bring out the robot.
Robot? Hey, come on, guys, this isn't funny anymore. Holy!
Nice one, 08OT.
That felt good. It's been a long time since I've been able to unload like that.
Yeah, everything's fine. Go back to bed. I just had my sound effects up too loud. Okay, what's going on? What are you guys doing? This is my house. You have no right.
We have every right. It says so right here in your producer's contract you signed back when you used to work for us. Before you got all uppity and started this thing you call a podcast. Journey into what?
I don't remember any contract. I was a volunteer. I was just helping you guys out. And I thought you guys liked me.
Oh, we like you. But now you're getting to be too big for your britches. Did you really think you could ever truly leave the Doonsteef?
We're like a family. You can't just leave your family. We let you have your fun, but now it's time to collect.
And besides, it's not like you could really make it without us. You produced, like, what? Maybe 2 episodes without using our voices?
Or cutting in on Doonsteef resources. Renee, Josh, Abby, Julie, Brian. You think they come with no cost?
But they're...
All part of the family.
I swear, I never knew. I never meant to infringe on any relationships or agreements and... I don't remember any contract.
Announcer man, show him.
Wait, you guys brought announcer man? I didn't. Oh. I never pictured him in leather.
That's right. Andrew Dice Clay, eat your heart out. Article 5, paragraph 7, by replying to this email or submitting a produced story to the Doonsteef, the applicant agrees to any and all stipulations and obligations contained heretofore.
Wait a minute. I never saw that. What are you guys trying to pull? Oh, and please, don't smoke in here.
It was right there in the fine print, in white text, in every email where you agreed to produce a story for the Doonstief.
White text? How was I supposed to find...
Your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them. You've seen how we link to our outtakes. It's the same thing. From a certain point of view.
A certain point of view? Hey, come on. There's no way this is legal. This'll never stand up in... What the...
Just a little reminder to show some respect.
But you guys always seem so nice on your podcast. I don't...
That's acting. People wouldn't listen to us if they knew what we were really like.
You really think I'm the pathetic loser I pretend to be on the show? Look at me, baby. I got the goods. I got ladies lining up at my house every night just for a little alone time with the Rishmeister.
And people think I am Mr. Nice Guy, a family man. They have no idea.
So what's next?
What's next is we are taking over your little operation. We figure you have used our voices enough that we might as well take over for you.
We're branching out, so to speak. Now where's your equipment so that we can get started?
Hey, leave that alone. I'm gonna call the police.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
All right. You can put your little armature away.
Now just sit down and stop being such a putz.
Okay, what do we got here? Reaper?
Yeah, I just started trying it out.
Who do you think you are? Brian Lincoln? Scott Pig?
No.
Yeah, we own them too.
All right, Rish, let's introduce this story. 08OT, watch him. Welcome, everyone, to Journey Into...
...
podcast.
I am your host, Rish Outfield.
And I'm your other host, Big Anklevich.
It's so great to be back here doing Journey Into for the... Boy, it always feels like the first time.
It does, yeah. It's so fresh and exciting each time. I love it.
I've been swimming in raw sewage. I love it.
Yeah, so today we have a radio...
Radio drama.
Radio drama
Wait,
for you.
Radio...
Radio Disney, a little episode...
Radio Gaga.
There we go. Nice.
Sorry, I had to say that again.
Today we have a radio show for you.
That's right. We've got an episode of Zero Hour.
It's called Skylab, Are You There?
Dio, can you hear me?
The show is called Skylab, Are You There? It's me, Margaret.
No. It's you, Big Anklevich.
Oh.
Oh, wait. That's not part of the title at all. It's just called Skylab, Are You There?
Ah, yes.
And it's sort of a rhetorical question. Although, in my day-to-day life, I often ask if Skylab is there. Or if we're all just alone.
Or at least Skynet.
Or Sky Mall.
I am shopping at Sky Mall at 5 Mile High Mall.
Worst episode ever, folks. With no further ado, let's go ahead and open up the thing with a knob. It's usually a rectangle, unless you're in Hobbiton.
Is it a door?
It's a door, that's right. We will open up the door, the gateway, if you will, into the magical realm of... I'm vamping here.
You are?
Of a fantasy or of science or...
So come with us and let's journey into... The unintelligible. I mean, sorry, the unimaginable.
Hey, R08OT, would you edit that little gaff out?
Oh, he says he will. Good.
Your eyes.
exercise your imagination. Today, Keith Waters' double tale of terror in space. Skylab, are you there? Starring William Shatner. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company, Shenley Industries, Matus Wine, Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, and Dial Soap. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Comparing the total cost of ownership is the only way to be sure you get your money's worth when buying a new car. And Ford says there are three important considerations that make up the total cost of ownership: purchase price, operating economy, and trade-in value. Don't overlook that last one, trade-in value. I'd like to give you some interesting facts about trade-in that are difficult for the average consumer to come by. Like the fact that based on a national average of NADA wholesale prices, both the 1973 Torino and the 1973 Gran Torino returned more of their original purchase price than their closest sales competition. The facts speak for themselves. A solid, well-made car will generally return more at trade-in. Ford says that's one of the reasons why Torino is the best-selling car in its class.
The closer you look, the better we look.
Beyond the fragile envelope of air that protects this planet lurk many mysteries of the universe not yet revealed to us. But consider this. Perhaps they have been, but there is a decree from some higher authority that will not allow us to be told. What then?
How are you coming, John?
Number four still won't extend. Wait, I thought I felt something move.
Anything?
No, for a minute there. I'll keep working. This is Houston. Do you copy?
Go ahead, Houston.
What is your status on the panel? Panel 2 and 3 now fully extended and operational. The arm on 4 panel is still askew in its channel.
Roger, Starlab. Let us know if we should recompute any of your program.
Wait, it's shifting.
John, what's wrong?
Telemetry on Colonel Ed's vital signs fluctuating erratically.
John, can you hear me?
Yeah, what happened?
John! Pat, suit up. I'm going out.
Right.
Houston, are you copying?
Roger, Starlab.
Colonel Ebb is not responding. Maybe injured. Dr. Kent and I are suiting up now. We will depressurize, and I will attempt to bring Ebb back in.
Roger, Starlab. Dick Conroy is on his way to the floor. He'll be taking over.
Pat, switch on your suit transmitter.
Can we both go out?
No, you stay here and set up your surgery. Starlab, this is Houston.
Dick Conroy, are you copying?
Roger, Dick. We are now depressurizing lab. Back to me for night. Right, popping hatch.
Jack, Ebb's signs are weakening.
Roger, Houston. Stand by.
Houston, I'm setting up the mobile video scan silver side.
We will monitor. Skylab, we are showing attitude change on the station. Can you advise?
Hold on. We'll check.
Houston, can you read the patch?
5 by 5, Jack.
I am drifting toward the capital.
Houston, I can confirm. We're rotating laterally and kicked off again. Also, slight horizontal rotate, but erratic.
Houston, it's possible that when the panel popped, its torque caused the station to spin.
That must be corrected immediately. Angle rotation will cause orbit decay.
Can you give me time brackets on delay correction?
Austin, set it up on the computer.
Roger. I can see him. The colonel's anchored onto the extreme of his lifeline. John, can you hear me?
Pat, that's good on the camera. We're following visually.
A movement from him. Almost there.
Vital signs very erratic.
I got him. Bring him in now.
Roger. Pat, can you take decay corrections?
I'm standing by surgery. Can you execute corrections from your station?
Roger, set up on the board computer through Orient Circuit. We will feed.
Pat, coming in. Give me a hand. See him. Pressurize. Houston, we are inside.
I'm going to state.
Transmitter, are you copying?
We are copying.
Jack, look at his chest.
Let's get his suit off. Houston, Colonel Ebb's on the table. Pat is examining him now. I am checking capsule.
Standing by, Scanner.
Houston, Ebb has a massive chest conduction. Possibly 6 ribs shattered. 2 feet as if they may have shifted into the heart wall.
Skylab, you will have to abort the mission.
Roger, Houston, I'm working on that now.
Pat, what a chance if we bring him down.
Better than if he stays here. The sooner the better.
Hold it, Pat. Houston, we have a problem. We cannot abort. I repeat, we cannot abort. Return capsule will not take pressurization, and number 2 fuel tank punctured.
Are you sure, Jack?
Positive, Houston. Fragments of the solar panel must have punctured capsule. We cannot return to Earth.
Matus is an old-world rosé wine people enjoy everywhere. Like down in the Delta, they know the blues are what you make it, and that the light, easy-to-like taste of Matus rosé makes the meal. Man, on the West Coast, Matus is out of sight, but you see it everywhere. Matus Rosé is perfect for that elegant evening on the town. Matus, the rosé wine that goes with everything good, anywhere, anytime at all.
Hey, 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 Matus Rosé.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby & Company, New York, New York.
Dick, here are the figures for the shoot.
Good.
Dick, you're going to wipe yourself out.
Can the sympathy. I'm sorry, you're right.
These show the Saturn on pad 9 will be operational in 11 hours.
How about Eckert?
He's lucky. He just finished simulation. He'll be ready when we are.
Well, let's give the good news to Skylab. Potter, activate the link.
Hi, Mr. Conroe. This is Billy Azor.
Thanks. Skylab, this is Houston.
We are copying, Houston.
Is Jack monitoring?
Yes, sir. He's in the capsule, but Pat.
We can mount a Saturn for rescue. We go to countdown in 30 minutes. Major Kenyon Eckert will be command pilot. We are programmed for an 11-hour count, and if we get lucky... Wait a minute, strike that. We are lucky. We can rendezvous at 20 hours, 30 minutes.
Houston, we don't have much time. Colonel Ebb is critical, barely holding his own, still unconscious. Pat is getting very erratic readings.
We're all praying. Jack, do you copy?
Right,
Houston.
No luck here. The capsule's worse than I thought. Even if I could get up pressure. Houston, stand by. Colonel Ebb's heart has stopped. I'm attempting a donor
at heart rate. Skylab, your transmission has been interrupted. Say again. Skylab, do you copy? This is Houston, Skylab. Are you there?
Dick, I'm getting telemetry on the lab, but...
But what?
You're not going to believe this. There is no telemetry on life signs.
That can't be.
See for yourself.
That's crazy. According to this, there's no one on the station.
Dick, they're locking down the hatch now.
All right. Let me know when Eckert comes up. And keep the press out. Have PR tell them we'll do a conference once Eckert's on his way.
Eckert.
Right. Major Eckert, Conroy, how do you feel?
Perfect. You're ready on a rush.
So do you. We are T-minus 30 and counting.
Roger, I'm ready to fly this bird.
So are we.
Anything new on station?
No, and we're not telling the press anything except we've got a communication problem. Remember that when you get on the command circuit.
Got it. That's hard to figure.
Got to be a simple explanation. But we know they're there. I know it.
Yeah. Where else can they be?
30 seconds and counting.
Second stage tanks now pressurized.
25 seconds.
Power transfer complete.
20 seconds and counting.
All systems go.
Guidance is now internal.
15 seconds.
Green. All systems green.
10. 9. Ignition sequence starts.
All systems go.
Looking good. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
All engines firing.
Beautiful. T plus 10.
Now
now at 60,000, all reading green.
Coming up on second stage.
Pitch program engaged.
All reading, still go for second stage.
Second stage firing, 10 seconds.
All right. Take your seats. Calm down. I've got a prepared statement. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to take this as it is. I've got no time for questions. Here's the status. Major Eckert is approximately 1 hour from docking with Skylab. He'll transfer Colonel Ebb to the capsule and bring him back to Earth.
Well, yeah, but...
Now, hold it. Will you hold it, please? There's no reason to believe they're not up there. I know what's on your mind, but let me assure you, in all probability, there's been simply a communication failure. And that's all it is. Eckert's job is simply to return Colonel Ebb. That will give us a breather and time to figure out how to make the necessary repairs in the capsule. That's it.
Major, Austin, Reynolds, are you getting any more?
Houston, I now have a matching orbit with Skylab.
Roger, Rescue, what's it look like?
Like a tomb. No sign of life through the ports. I'm now depressurizing a capsule. I will walk across to the station. I'm now leaving capsule. I will secure a line to the station from the capsule. If you'll forgive the analogy, tying up like this makes me think of the Russian buggy.
Modern ingenuity, Major.
Approaching station hatch.
Austin, any change in telemetry?
Nothing, Dick. The suspense is killing me.
Yeah.
Houston, I'm inside the station. Houston, there's no one here.
Glad is what happens when you use Dial soap. It starts right out with a clean, fresh scent that's like nothing else. To get you going clean and fresh. Dial washes away the cause of odor on your skin. You just can't buy a better deodorant soap than Dial. And that's saying something. Rescue, this is Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
You are to prepare for return. We're reprogramming for re-entry, and we'll feed the data shortly. We have several assignments for you to accomplish before then.
I am copying.
Set up the cabin for video scan. We're going to fine-tooth comb on video for examination. Also have the infrared adapter ready. Then pull all film from the analyzers and transfer to your vehicle.
Roger. Video scan is now operating. Take it anytime.
Switching now. Major Eckert, are you sure you switched the scan to inboard relay?
Roger, Houston. I show power on the equipment.
Okay, stand by one. Dick, can you come here?
What do you got?
A carrier wave, but no picture. It's almost as if there's some strong energy source blocking transmission.
Slide over. I'll use your board. Eckert, check your gamma analyzer now.
Aye, doing it now. Hey, that's high, Conroy. About 5/12 interior.
Okay, stand by.
What do you think you've got?
Mr. Hunts. Crazy. Probably nothing. Eckert, I want you to set up the infrascanner for interior.
Can do. Give me a minute.
Right, and when you've got it set, patch it through the board and scanner circuits. Austin, switch the feed to the board scope.
Working.
Relay now.
What was that?
Houston, what are you getting at? No monitor.
Eckert, now listen carefully. I want you to pan the scanner left to right and freeze when I say.
Panning.
I've never seen anything like it. Freeze scan.
Impossible. How?
Houston, what have you got?
Major, we are looking at our Skylab team, plus there is one human form with them.
You mean they're up here with me?
The way it looks. The infra images are very hazy, but I'm sure it's Pat Kent Jack Elton, and Colonel Ebb. The other form is gesturing and pointing towards the scanner. Oh. We've lost the scan. Austin, are you all right?
Yeah. Just lots of spots before my eyes.
Rescue, this is Houston. We're getting no visual on infra. Switch back.
Houston, this is Colonel
Ebb. John? John? Is that you?
Very much so, Dick. Alive and well.
How? Pat said your heart stopped.
Dick, I must request that we discontinue conversation. Would you please go to scramble on the priority circuit?
Roger. Switching now.
Scott, I'm your read.
Roger, Houston. Dick, we've been requested to keep the following information secret, at least for a time. Pat will fill you in on the beginning sequences.
Houston, what has happened is truly without medical precedent. Colonel Ebb was brought back to life. Mr. Conroy, we have been watched.
Watched? What do you mean?
At the moment, the Colonel's heart stopped. There was a blinding light shift in the lab. It was accompanied by a physical wrenching, almost as if our lives had shifted in time, which in fact it did. A humanoid was suddenly in the lab with us. She told us it had been ordered to return Colonel Ebb to life.
I'll take it, Pat. Houston, the alien's name was Hobb. It left a message for us to play as explanation. Jack is integrating it into your circuits. Are you receiving visual?
Yes. What is that thing?
They call it a communicube.
A tape recorder?
In a way. As they explain it, the cube projects audio and visual into any receiver, electronic or the mind. Stand by.
Hobb is my designator. I am a special monitor assigned to your planet. For the past 600 years, it has been my duty to observe and report your progress toward space exploration. I represent, in your reference term, the Council of Worlds, a higher order civilization of 2,000 world planets. The Council is responsible for admitting new worlds into the Federation when they have attained a proper civilized level. Your planet has not yet attained that status. As the observer, I am gifted with the ability to read alternate futures. When the death of Colonel Ebb occurred, it changed the future course of Earth's progress. This could not be allowed, and thus the Council gave permission for re-life. To explain, Colonel Ebb will be the dominating personality responsible for your reaching the civilized status for membership. Will also be needed for future contact and space exploration. You are advised, under maximum penalty, to hold this information in absolute secret. Under no circumstance is this to be broadcast to the people of Earth at this time. This is Hobb. We will be waiting.
Is that all?
Yes. The cube has disappeared.
Dick, Hobb's words did not record. And we had to tell more.
The Council's instructions were very specific. Only that Skylab had a problem with its solar panels and power. That is all.
Under penalties. I hate to think what they might be. Prepare for return to Earth, Skylab.
Roger, Houston. We hear you.
Small and getting smaller every day, but there are certain things you still do. Still say what you think, you still pay for the drinks, and beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Weird ideas taking hold, kids won't do what they're told, who knows what this whole world's coming to. But you keep your face to the wind, you don't quit on a friend, and beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Seems like a man's world just isn't the same anymore, but some things you can still trust, like Beechnut chewing tobacco. Beechnut just keeps on getting better. Beechnut's a lot moister these days, with more taste, less stems. Today's Beechnut, fresher, longer-lasting flavor.
You ought to try it. Girls in bars, girls in pants, a man just don't stand a chance. But there's still ways to show them who's who. Treat your dogs with respect. You keep your traps oiled and checked. And beach nuts the tobacco to chew.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes. Exercise your imagination. And join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Skylab, Are You There? Is an original radio drama written by Keith Walker. William Shatner was heard as Richard Cuddle. Featured in the cast were Jacques Denbo, Kathleen Cordell, Casey Kasem, Les Tremaine, and Jack Grisham. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Polis, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley B. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
All right, welcome back. So what did you think of shopping at Sky Mall? Skylab, Are You There? It's me, Margaret. Did you like the show? Or
I don't think it was called that, and no. I'm just a little too young to have lived through the radio drama era.
I think you can say either or either.
Okay, I will say neither. But there's always been something kind of fascinating and quaint to me about the radio drama. I mean, especially the stuff from the 30s, you know, before television. This is from, I think, 1974.
Yeah.
And so this is like way, way at the very tail end. I had no idea they were still doing radio drama in 74, 94. The closest thing in my lifetime was, do you remember the Star Wars radio dramas?
Right, yeah, you'd hear those on NPR sometimes. Or maybe it wasn't the national thing, it was just like the local station would pull out the old tapes and play them again. But I would hear those sometimes here and there.
And they used to call that theater for the mind.
Theater of the mind.
Of the mind. With the mind. To the mind. Good night, folks. I don't know. My father is from that generation, and he used to talk about listening to the radio and like a streak of light. Look, it's the Lone Ranger. Dun, 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 dun. You know, he has this kind of nostalgia for that period because they didn't get a television until like 61 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And you see on A Christmas Story and things like that, just how integral that was to the day-to-day grind,
right,
especially of a child.
It would just lay there on the floor in the room, just in front of the radio and listen to it as though it were a TV. Like, you know, you had to sit there in front of it or something. You couldn't, like, play with your toys while you were listening or something. You know, just laid there and, like, watched the front of the radio or whatever. Saw the light glow softly on it.
There's something nostalgic about that, even though I didn't live through that.
Yeah.
And I know I've said on our show that my dad used to check out tapes, and that was tapes of the Abbott and Costello radio show or Lone Ranger, The Adventures of Superman, things like that. And we would listen to them when I was a kid. And so I do have a little bit of nostalgia, even though it was sort of through my father's eyes that I was experiencing all this.
Yeah, I had a similar thing. My brother-in-law would do that. Interestingly, he would get the tapes of the Ray Bradbury stories that would be done on... I'm pretty sure you couldn't call them audiobooks. They were radio plays. He would bring like a little cassette player on a camp out.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then when we're all sitting around the fire or whatever, he's like, okay, done with the story or whatever. We would listen to that. Must have sucked to pack that thing around in his backpack the whole time. Because we actually did this on like a 50-mile hike that we did in the backwoods of Yosemite. But it was interesting.
It could have been a record player. I mean, come on. Yeah,
it could have been worse. Like, he had a Victrola. He had the big horn coming up over his shoulder to play.
I'm sure your kids look at videos of people with Walkmans in the 80s and go, oh, geez, and you had to put it on your belt? And it wasn't the size of a postage stamp? How could you exercise with that? But we also grew up in the era of the Ghetto Blaster.
Right.
This giant radio or whatever. And nobody ever complained about the size of that. Well, unless you were trying to mug somebody who had one of those and they used it as a weapon.
Yeah, or you mugged them and you took it away and you're like, oh man, this thing's big and heavy. Oh, I should have stolen a smaller one.
Words to live by.
Oh, Rish.
Oh, wait, hey, what's that announcer, man?
And now a word from our sponsor.
Oh, that's right. We do have a sponsor today.
This is William Shatner.
And I'm Casey Kasem.
We're here to talk to you a little bit about beech nut chewing tobacco.
That's right. Beech nut chewing tobacco is my favorite brand of chewing tobacco.
And what? Mine as well, Casey. There's nothing quite as refreshing and delightful as stuffing some of that brown garbage under my bottom lip, spitting wherever I go, whether it's down the street, whether it's my apartment, whether it's the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. I'm always busy with beech nut.
When I put a pinch of beech nut between my cheek and gum, and I feel that cancer eating into my flesh.
A happy cancer.
And I start filling that cup that I carry around with me everywhere with that black, disgusting juice that I spit out of my lip.
I use a handkerchief myself.
That's
a soiled, brown, dripping handkerchief.
That's smart. Maybe I should consider that. After all, someone tried to drink out of my cup last time, and the vomit was hard to clean up.
On that note, thank you, Beechnut, for all the joy you've given me and my four lovely children.
Things change. Women are allowed to wear pants.
And hippies are no longer beaten with fire hoses by policemen.
Yes, they're welcomed into society.
You can wear open-toed sandals to the grocery store. It's an abomination.
But one thing that never changes... it's my love for beech nut chewing tobacco.
And mine as well. Embrace me, Casey. Like a long-lost brother coming home from Vietnam.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for your pouch of beech nut chewing tobacco. And now back to the show.
Thank you, Casey and Bill. And thank you, Marshall Latham, for letting us steal your lovely microphone. It's prettier than ours.
It's because he bedazzled it before we came over. I'm not quite sure what the deal is with that. But
well, he has fine taste.
Whatever.
I still feel Shatner trying to come out. This was hosted by Rod Serling. I mean, the actual radio drama that we were hearing.
Right, 0 Hour.
And it was in 74, like May of 74. And I believe he died the next year.
No, he had actually died 3 years earlier, but then the aliens came and he was slated for the ReLife program.
That was a big thing in the early 70s.
Yeah.
It's due for a comeback, you know, one of those fads that would be nice.
But yeah, it was kind of cool to hear Rod Serling. I know you especially are a big fan of Twilight Zone and some of the other stuff that he's done. And also, we heard Casey Kasem, and like every cartoon that I watched growing up had at least one Casey Kasem character, I think. I'm pretty sure G.I. Joe had to have at least one. Transformers, Scooby-Doo.
But you were a big fan of, what was his character's name?
Cliff Jumper. That's right, Cliff Jumper.
Was Captain Caveman tainted by the voice of Casey Kasem by any chance?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. And yeah, and also there was William Shatner on here telling us how the whole Skylab was sabotaged. That was fun to hear too. So good times to hear all that stuff thrown together. It's like putting all your favorite ingredients into a cake and mixing it all up. You put your favorite blue coloring stuff in there, and then like green food coloring, and then you put like your yellow food coloring, and then you mix it all up, and you know what it turns out to be? Poop brown. I bet you've experienced that. You know, it just doesn't work out the same. You think, oh, that's going to be so pretty. No, it's always poop brown. But
so the sum is less than the parts.
It was good times. That was a fun show.
And speaking of fun shows, you can catch us each and every, I don't know, 6 months over at the Doonstief Audio Fiction Magazine. We're usually this annoying then, too.
That's right.
You want to just take 30 seconds and tell people everything there is to know about the Doonstief? Go!
Okay, the Doonstief Audio Fiction Magazine runs stories. We do them in full cast audio, which is similar to audio drama that you heard here, except for that there is a narrator that reads the text of the story, and then all the parts are played by other people. And yeah, we do a story every few weeks or so, and then afterwards we have a little BS session kind of like this, where we talk about the story that ran and about other cromulent things.
And before Marshall Latham betrayed and murdered us, he was a regular contributor to the Dynasty. I miss that lad.
Yeah, Marshall cut his teeth on my arm, sadly enough.
How many shots did you have to get to take care of that? You can still see a discolored... Ew, yeah. What had he been eating?
I don't know. It was something that was poop brown, sadly. But you can go there and listen to his early work before he became a journey in-tour. Great stories over there. And you can enjoy them all at www.dunesteef.com.
That's cool. And thank you, Marshall, for having us on your show. The Parsec Award nominated Journey Into podcast. It's kind of exciting.
We're going to have to beat that show down so that we can get the Parsec instead.
Oh, no, you didn't get the memo. Neither of us are going to.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
I don't know. His show is so different than ours most of the time. But he did a... Well, you already know, if you're a listener to his show, that he did the Tim Pratt story that got nominated. And every once in a while, you'll hear a story on another show. Heck, let me rephrase. Every once in a while, I'll hear a story on another show and wish that it was ours. I'll be like, oh, ooh, that would have been And then usually I have to take a nap, because making those kind of noises, it takes a lot out of you.
It does. But yeah, thanks for having us, Marshall. And I guess we'll come and beat you down and make you let us take over your show again some other time. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for listening to Journey Into... I'm Big Anklevich.
And I'm Rich Outfield, and I believe this show is produced under a Creative Commons attribution, non-discrimination of minorities. What am I looking for?
Creative Commons attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license.
And what does that mean, announcer man?
This means that you may share these files with anyone, but you may not charge for them or alter them.
Right. Thanks, announcer man.
It doesn't get any better than this.
And Man in Space is responsible for the theme music.
Science!
And no animals were harmed in the creation of this podcast.
We did kick Marshall around a little.
He is a filthy animal. So yeah, there you go. Thanks for listening, folks. See you later.
Good night.
Science!
Hey, I think they're gone. Big? Rish? Announcer man? Huh. Hey, I think they're gone.
That felt good.